Shall we make a start? Daniel, very welcome to our men's breakfast. I hope you've all had a good breakfast, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Good, good. And Daniel, just if you could just find out a little bit more about you before you say something. So you're a bit of a citizen of the world. You've been in many countries. You've lived in different places. Do you want to sort of quickly run through where you come from, where you've worked, and why you're back in the UK?
Well, that's
shortly.
1 minute. My parents are missionaries in Argentina, so I was born in Buenos Aires, and I lived there until I was 8, then we came back to the UK, and lived mainly in the Harrow area of northwest London, so I went to school there, then went up to university at Warwick, so I spent 3 or 4 years in sort of the Warwick, Leamington Spa area, and after university I was thinking about overseas mission. And my dad and I was coming to get a real job, and so I thought, well, I can do perhaps a real job in Mexico and learn some Spanish and understand the culture a bit. So I went to Mexico. The idea was to be there for a year, year and a half. I worked on a social project in some slums there, but then I ended up staying 6 years. I taught some English, met a lady, who then we came back here in 98, and we ended up spending 6 more years here in Chile, in England, back in the Harrow area, and I worked there with Latin Link, another mission agency that works in Latin America. And then in 20 years ago, I got married in a little church around the corner, and in fact we went off on our honeymoon from a boat just down here, so it's got some good memories here. And in 2005 we went out to Chile. That's the same year my eldest son was born. He was 9 months old when we went out, and 2007 when we were out there, my youngest son Joshua was born. So between the four of us, we were born in 4 different countries, but we've all got British passports, and I'm the only one who's only got one passport. Everyone else has got a couple. And so for the last 13 years we've been in Chile, working in a local church as a kind of curate, helping train up people, lay training. And then 6 years ago we got asked to start a new church in Valparaiso, which is a big port on the coast. Some of you might have been there. And that's kept us out of trouble for the last 6 years. And we felt a period had come to an end. The curate I had became the vicar, and this was very encouraging, someone who's part of our church planting team. Ben was an apprentice for a couple of years, his wife was an apprentice for a year. They just finished at Bible College last year, and they're coming onto the church as a church planting curate. So we're hoping we left things in good hands, and now we're back here. If any of you know a job, let me know.
Daniel, it's great to have you with us. I know you're going to say something to us now, but shall we pray for Daniel as he speaks to us? And then it's over to you, and then there'll be questions afterwards. So we pray. Lord, we thank you for the breakfast we've had. We thank you for your goodness and your provision to us. And we thank you so much for Daniel and Eshlyn, for Joshua and David coming safely back to the UK. We want to pray now for Daniel that you would guide him by your Spirit. Give him the words to say to us, and we want to pray, Lord, that you would help us all to grow in our faith as men of God. Lord, be with us now, we ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for a great welcome, and it's so good to catch up with a few of you. And we're coming to do something a bit more formal in Lechleid, I think in March. I can't remember the date, in March. And it's great to have a full English breakfast again. Haven't had one of those for a long while. Just a fairly short reflection, really. I was thinking this the other day. No one likes being rejected. We all want to be accepted and loved by other people. Being rejected is painful. However, probably for nearly all of us, we have been rejected at some point in our lives. Here are a few examples that have happened to me. When I was at school and I was 12 years old, England went to war with Argentina. You might remember the Falklands conflict. And someone discovered that I was born in Buenos Aires. So there was quite a bit of argy-bargy that I had to put up with. Then, and Vickers walked out, it's kind of a little joke about him, he's gone. Then, unless you are as good-looking, sexy and intelligent as the vicar, Andrew, you may well have been rejected by a lady or girl at some point. It happened to me a couple of times. In fact, I recently discovered that two of my exes who finished with me are now vicar's wives. And unless you're as hard-working, conscientious and smart as Will, you might even have been sacked at some point, and that's also happened to me. And I didn't tell you it's not some kind of desperate bid to get your sympathy, but to say that we've all been rejected at some point, and it isn't either easy or nice. So a little question for you guys. How does it feel to be rejected? How about just a couple of minutes, chat to one of your neighbours or someone at your table, and perhaps share, if you're brave enough, share an experience of rejection in your life. This is where you can talk together. Girls, not but the relationship either lasted 6 weeks or 6 months. And so the first one that went past 6 months, I married. yes, thank you for sharing that. None of us like being rejected. We'll come on to a bit of that later on. Recently I've been trying to learn John 1. And here's a bit of a plug for those of you who like technology. Like you've got an iPad, you can download an app called Fightiverse. And for those who want to give their Christian life a bit of a kickstart, it's a great way to learn, memorize parts of the Bible, which helps in all areas of Christian life. But in John 1, there's a couple of verses, 10 and 11, which are very sad verses, I find, as I'm meditating on them. Verse 10 says, "He," talking about Jesus, "was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." How terrible. The creator of the world came to our planet in the person of Jesus Christ, as we celebrated recently at Christmas, and he was rejected. Human creatures didn't recognize their creator. They didn't receive him, they rejected him. Now, we have all done that at some point in our lives. Lived for ourselves, and not for God. And if you haven't accepted him and are now living as a committed Christian, serving God and your community, you have also rejected Jesus, and that means God as well. Now, hang on a minute, you might say, that's a bit strong. I think God might exist. Isn't that enough? But Jesus says later in the same gospel, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in a similar way to how we may have been rejected at some point in our life, Jesus is rejected by many every day. My first year at university, I shared the room with a young guy from Liverpool called Jeremy. Actually, there's a great story about Arsenal and Liverpool there. I'll tell you that later on. But he had rejected Jesus, though he had come from a Christian background. And one day we were talking about heaven, and he seemed to think that even though he hadn't recognized or received Jesus, that he would still go there. And I suggested it might be a bit like a bridegroom. If a bridegroom has had a neighbor who he's always tried to befriend, he's invited him out for a drink, he's suggested going to watch a game of football together, to come home and have a meal with the family. And this neighbour has always said no. He's rejected him. The neighbour can't really complain when it comes to the wedding, and he's not invited to it. And it's a bit like that with us and God. And there is an alternative to rejecting Jesus. But before we come on to that, another question. Who is the most famous person that you have met during your life? And here you don't have to talk about it, just call out a name perhaps. Who's a famous person that you might have met?
The Queen.
The Queen, there you go, straight at the top. There you go, the Queen.
You can't beat that one.
Prince Charles, okay, ooh. Right, very good.
Jason Donovan,
that shows your age, yeah. Jason Donovan, okay. That's your Aussie connection there, isn't it?
David Cameron,
yeah. I've heard of him, he was... Prime Minister, isn't it? Anyone else? Well, I've chatted once in Chile, in fact, to the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, but I'm proudest of the moment when I was in a church in Portugal
And Cliff Richard applauded me.
Ooh.
That shows my age as well, Cliff Richard. When we see a celebrity, and especially if we meet one, we want to tell everyone else about it because we get excited. Listen to this next verse in John 1, verse 12. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." So how does someone become a Christian? They receive Jesus. They believe in his name. They don't reject Jesus, but they accept him. They accept him as a present from God. The original and greatest Christmas present, we might say. They accept that there is no way, no path to God except through Jesus. For our rebellion against the creator of the universe, eventually we will die. But Jesus, who was obedient to his heavenly Father, didn't deserve to die, but he died in our place. When I was on a camp as a teenager, it was explained to me in this way, with these verses from Isaiah 53, which you might know. It says, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that was written hundreds of years before Jesus came and died for us. And it's explained to me that we were created to have a relationship with God. At the beginning, Adam walked in the Garden of Eden with God. There was a close relationship. But as man turned their back on God and they rebelled, that relationship became distant. So this is though, if we think of every day we do things that displease God, we don't follow him, and if you wrote them on a different page of the book, eventually, by the end of your lives, you'd have all these things that cut us off from God. And God, being a holy God, can't abide sin, so that relationship becomes distant. But Jesus, when he walked on earth, he never disobeyed God. He was always in a close relationship. He didn't have that barrier. And it says in that verse that God laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquities of us all. So if we accept Jesus, that's why when Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Because for the first time, he wasn't in that direct relationship with God. He was cut off from God because he took all our sins. But that leaves us in a position where we can have a new relationship with God. That's an example I remembered from when I was about 16 on a camp. So if you haven't done so before, will you receive Jesus today? Will you believe that there is forgiveness in his name? And if you'd like to know more about how you can take that step, please do chat to me or to Andrew afterwards. And if at some point you have taken that step, which I'm sure most of you have done, not only will you be friends with the greatest and most famous person in the world, and that's Jesus, but you will become, according to the verse we heard, a child of God. You will never be rejected by God, but he will see you as he sees Jesus, a dear and beloved son. Now, some of you might say, this is all old hat, nothing we don't know. But if you are a Christian, if you're growing in your relationship with God, praying, studying the Bible, loving and serving your neighbour in and outside the church, how are you doing sharing your faith with others? Few of us find it easy to talk about Jesus with our friends. It's one thing perhaps being rejected when we're at school or with a girl when we're younger. It's more difficult perhaps when we're older. But we have the greatest message to pass on. Instead of being rejected by God, we can be accepted. We can have all our sin and rebellion forgiven, and can enjoy new life as beloved sons. And there's nothing better than seeing others come to know Jesus, to see them become children of God. Someone said that sharing one's faith is a bit like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And what we've been doing in Chile is exactly the same as we should all be doing here in England, in Lechlade. Sharing the good news about Jesus. Perhaps inviting a friend to read one of the Gospels with you. Inviting them to a Bible study for men. I understand one started fairly recently, and I expect there are still places available. It's a last minute suggestion, I was going to show a little short minute video which we can perhaps send to you in 3 minutes explaining the Christian faith. So I'll just finish by praying for you, praying for all of us, because the last thing that Jesus asked us to do was to go and make disciples. And that's vital for our growth as Christians, and it's vital so other people can hear the Christian message and can, instead of rejecting Jesus, accept him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus we can be accepted by you, that we can be forgiven and we can have new life. We can become sons of yours. Instead of being orphans, we can have that close relationship that a son has with a loving father. We thank you for that. Help us to be men who are bold and brave and are willing to risk rejection to share our faith with others, because we know it's the best thing that can happen to anyone to come to know you. I ask that for this group, for the church at Lechlade, and for myself as well. Lord, that this coming year we'll be valiant, brave in sharing you with others. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Hi Daniel, you've got a few minutes to answer questions.
Is that too short?
Any quick questions about Daniel, the family, what he's been doing in Chile, what he hopes to do here in Britain? Doesn't have to be any questions. You can speak to him afterwards. Right.
Well, I've worked overseas, but what I found probably the biggest obstacle is the cultural differences. How much did that play in Chile?
Yes, I think we had a slight head start because my wife's Mexican, so she spoke the language, and because of my time in Mexico I also spoke fairly good Spanish, but even so there were big differences between Mexican and Chilean culture, a bit as there are between, say, British and American culture. My wife, when she went to the market for the first time, though she speaks fluent Spanish, nearly all the vegetables had different names from one end of the continent to the other. And then there's yes, people do things in a different way. The Chileans sometimes pride themselves on being the British of South America. And so perhaps they're not so different to us. And there's a big German and British influence in the 19th century. But still, they're very different ways of doing things. And so I've actually enjoyed driving in England because just everyone seems to be a bit more respectful on the road. So, you might find it otherwise. But I used to often... The last couple of years I started listening to classical music on my car radio because I get less stressed because people dive in front of you, and there's also one big difference there which I found difficult, and in the church context as well, people always say yes, so people don't like saying no to your face, so you invite them to something and they say yes and they just don't turn up, so you have an event and it's amazing, here you go. I think even Peter's arrived, so I think everyone who said they would, almost apart from a few people who were ill or couldn't make it, everyone's come. Yeah. And often in Chile, half the people would come to an event. Lots of discipleship groups were constantly cancelled. So that was one big difference that was hard for us.
Thank you very much.
I suppose now you're back here. What's the plan when you're back here? What do you
expect? We're just settling in. We've still got 6 months where the Mission Society supports us, and hopefully St. Lawrence's carries on supporting us through the Mission Society. And so we've just got our boys back into schools. So Joshua hit the road running. He'd just broken for summer holidays back here. Less than a week, he's in school again. And Davey's just been accepted to another school, so he'll probably start on Tuesday. So there's that. I've got a bit of study to finish off. I've been asked to help with this, setting up a resource church in Harrow. Three churches coming together to think about planting churches. Mm-hmm. And so they've kind of got me in with no experience in the UK, but as a consultant, and looking for a job. So I've got you can pray if you want to pray. I've got a job interview next Saturday in Northampton, and so hopefully by the end of 6 months I'll have a job lined up for afterwards.
And what field do you work in?
Yeah, just going being a vicar. Nothing important. Yeah, but that job's interesting because it's an associate vicar of a large church, which is on the edge of Northampton, a village in Northampton, but it's not quite as rural as Lechstade. And they're beginning to plant out into different places, but they've done and also what they call grafting. So there's a small rural church that doesn't have many people, and they're putting, say, 30 people in to give it new life and get it started. So the idea of this role is for 2 years, and part of that is to set up a new group to either go into an existing church or to church plant in a new area.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Sounds great. Yeah.
So, there's a question over here. Oh, two questions.
Oh, yes, and surely, is there any sort of integration between Christianity and traditional ancient beliefs?
Not so much as in other countries in Latin America. Because the more indigenous people are still kind of separate in the south, near Temuco, Cholchol, where the Incans started off their mission work at the end of the 19th century. And so they were about the only people who were never officially conquered by the Spanish, so they didn't even become Catholics. In other parts of Latin America, especially in places like Mexico, there's a lot more syncretism between pre-Hispanic religions and Catholicism. So one example in Mexico is the Virgin of Guadalupe, and for 200 years she was called Donatzin Guadalupe. Previously the Aztecs had worshipped the mother god Donatzin, and on the same hill there was they had a vision of an indigenous Mexican virgin who was called Guadalupe. Well, that's the Spanish name, and they worshipped in the same place. In Chile, not so much of that. That answers your question, but there's always a bit of mixture, especially in popular Catholicism, between other beliefs and sort of Christianity.
Nigel,
I just going to ask you, Chile is a Roman Catholic country. How did you get on with our brothers in the Roman Catholic Church?
Yes, well, I think probably from the end of the 19th century, or the 19th century and most of the 20th century, there was hostility between the two groups, especially with sort of Protestant missionaries coming in. Catholics in Chile often haven't had the opportunity to study the Bible, so some of their beliefs aren't biblical. There's more working together now, especially on these big sort of social, moral issues, with Chile also as becoming more secular in its approach. So recent years have been lots of marches together on the theme of abortion, for example, and there the Catholic Church and the Protestants were joining together. John, have you been stroking your beard? You've got a question coming up.
No.
Just stroking.
Okay, let's move over to perhaps Will and David, because you've mentioned a new men's group that started up. So, Will or David, do you want to say something about the new men's group? What's happening about that?
So we met for the first time on Tuesday. There were six of us and a couple of others who couldn't make that particular evening, but we are meeting together at my house every other Tuesday to, at this point, study Mark's Gospel together, and also to talk about our experience in following God and to try and encourage each other in our daily discipleship, and just to kind of encourage each other in reading the Bible and in our walk with God. So that's what we're meeting together to do. As I said, there's six of us at the first one. There's a couple more people planning to join us next time. We've only just started, so now would be a good time to join in if you would like to. So talk to me or Will afterwards.
So Tuesday evenings every 2 weeks?
Yep.
Okay. And just a sort of final question. We talk about sort of discipleship. You've done quite a lot of discipleship with sort of men trying to grow them up and things. Anything for us to learn from that, how it actually really grew in our faith? Is that something that just sort of happens automatically when we go to church on Sunday, or is it more?
I think it helps being intentional. I remember when I was in London, at one point the church wanted to put everyone into prayer triplets. And there's one person who lived near where I was, And we never found a third person, because he wanted to meet up at 6 o'clock in the morning before work to go to London. And we spent 5 years just meeting up once a week to pray together. Yeah. And that really helped us grow our faith. So a couple of times I went to very difficult spots. Yeah. And it was amazing, because we were different ages, into different things, different backgrounds, different everything really. Yeah. And we became best friends just sharing Jesus. So I think there's a lot to be said by just meeting up regularly. Yeah. Discipleship, opening the Bible, because the world says lots of things about Christianity. But if we want to know about Christianity, we need to know more about Jesus. And so we can't do that unless we know the Bible. So it's always a good place to start, is just to read the Bible together. Great place to start, the Gospel of Mark, and just share one's lives and one's struggles and difficulties, and that inevitably leads to some kind of Christian growth.
Thank you very much indeed. Good. So I think we'll probably draw an end there, because I think we need to vacate this room. And Daniel, can we just say a huge big thank you for you coming all this way from North London to come and listen to us?
Whenever there's a good breakfast, I'll be back again.
Are you going back to London today, is that right?
Yes, yes. The whole family were going to come down, but David got a bit ill yesterday, so they pulled out, so I'm going to go back after lunch.
So can we just say a huge big thank you to Daniel for coming to us
this morning?